Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, Kurt, how you doing, buddy?
I need a drink. That's the honest to God's truth. I just got off
what has to be
one of the dumbest conference calls I've ever been on in my life, and the need to drink an old-fashioned is very strong right now. That's all I'm going to say.
You know, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, and here on Party Lines, I feel like it's always can be 5 o'clock. You can have a cocktail and enjoy this, which reminds us, if you are listening to us or watching the pod wherever you enjoy us, join us on social media, rate, review, subscribe, come find us, the Party Lines podcast on YouTube. Tell your friends, your family, your neighbors, but only people you like.
And
don't
send
tell the people you don't like. And send Kurt
send
your
me
booze
a drink,
recommendations.
Please.
Well,
what
Kurt,
we talking
it's
about?
Been, we had, we did, now I would like to start with this real quick editorial note. No bike helmet. No bike helmet today.
Yeah.
For pod listeners really, earlier this week.
I became very invested in Seth Moulton winning that race only because I wanted to see off the bike helmet.
Well,
damn it.
Seth Moulton, unsurprisingly, did not win. The generational change is not coming to the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. So I, bike helmet free today. So I wanted to kick off
you
with...
You dodged a bullet, McGuire.
It was an easy bet to make. I felt quite confident in my decision on that one. But big news yesterday, surprising news out of Fox News and Fox Business World that Maria Bartiromo is out at the network. And there's been a lot of speculation, a lot of initial alleged reporting about potential leaking to the White House or to the administration to try and change potential editorial decisions at Fox News. Kurt, what's your initial reaction to this story about Maria Bartiromo being out?
It's actually really shocking because you don't oftentimes see someone who is considered one of the cornerstones, foundational pieces of your network, and certainly Maria at Fox Business. I remember when she moved over from CNBC, that was a major media move. Maria was, in many ways, the face of credibility during the 2008 financial crisis all over financial programming. And so to have one of your cornerstone talents who is also done very well in the ratings, who has a very close proximity relationship, positive one with the White House and the president, to get the 86, and boy, did they do it. No, I mean, she didn't get a goodbye show. She didn't get they took her off the air at the beginning of August and just sat her there for a month before revealing it. You don't see that very often in this business. And so I was legitimately, I'm like, what could she have possibly have done to warrant that level of hostility internally from executive land that's how she got disposed of? And frankly, like, and we'll talk about this more, but what she did, like, yeah, that's a fireable offense, in my opinion.
Yes, I will say my initial reaction to your point about the cornerstone, you know, getting rid of a cornerstone. Fox, when it comes to their editorial decisions and their executive decisions, remember, they fired Tucker Carlson and he was the highest
number
rated
one
on the network. And they let him go immediately, did not care, got rid of him. So I was surprised to see the Maria Bartiromo news just because there hadn't even really been kind of an inkling around it,
right,
that there could be a shakeup. And you would think, to your point about her being one of the more key figures within the network universe, who is close to the White House, to the administration, to the president specifically,
yep,
maybe you would have heard something about it. And there was really no indication until yesterday when a very short statement went out from Fox saying that she was gone, and that they thanked her for the 12 and a half years and wished her well on her way. Now, the reporting since then by the likes of Oliver Darcy with Status and some other outlets has been that she was taking memos and text messages and things and screenshotting them and sending them into the administration when she wasn't getting editorial decisions her way. I don't know if that was, you know, try to coax the admin to weigh in on it. They allegedly, the White House
clearly
had
they
called
did
over to
it
Fox.
Cost her job. Whew.
Yeah, apparently they had called over to Fox and hadn't known that Maria was sharing information. You mentioned this a little bit. You think it's a fireable offense?
Yeah, I think that any time that you take information from your company, from your bosses, and leak it outside of that building, Like, that's a fireable offense. I put it another way. If you work in the White House and you get caught leaking to whoever, you get terminated, and you should. Like, I mean, you're playing with fire there, and never assume that whoever you're sharing information with is going to keep it to themselves, especially when you're sharing it with the White House, with the leakiest of people that exist in all of professional world. Like, of course, if you tell them, hey, it's not going this way because X, Y, and Z, you don't think that this president of all people is not going to pick up the phone going, hey, what the hell are you doing? Like, I just saw this thing. Like, it is stupid. It is completely inappropriate, and it is a violation of your contract. Like, you can't share privileged information. And we're talking about Rupert Murdoch here, folks. Like, it's like you said, Glenn Beck, Bill O'Reilly, Megyn Kelly, Tucker Carlson, all ratings juggernauts at their peak and prime, all ended up seeing the door at some point, because, like, as Fox has shown, they are a machine. They are bigger than one personality. They will plug and play whoever in a time slot, and it will work. Exhibit A, Jesse Waters. Yeah. Like, he gets plugged in, prime time slot, he's kicking ass. It is the typical mistake that I think talent and television makes, which is they think that they're bigger than their network or that they're untouchable. Nobody's untouchable.
That's right. I mean, we've seen even CNN, right? They have fired some of their biggest talent, right? I mean, Cuomo was on prime time. Don Lemon was on prime time. You've seen a massive shakeup where these media entities know that as much as Tucker Carlson or Maria Bartiromo or Megyn Kelly or Glenn Beck or Don Lemon, Chris Cuomo, each of them being very different, are generational talents in some way, shape, or form. They were hosts on these big shows, on these big networks. Don't want to say you're a dime a dozen, but you're certainly replaceable by the network. And the ethics question on this, if Maria, this is all alleged, we don't know what may or may not have happened. If this is true that she was sending information to the White House about editorial decisions that the executives at Fox were making, yeah, that's a huge breach of trust. That's a huge breach to be sending people information that they're not privy to, and it is a leak if this is how it happened. And so if that's the standard that Fox needs to set and say, hey, you might be close to the White House, you might be close to the administration, but there are lines you can't cross and you got to remember whose team you're on, this could be that instance. But this is, she wasn't just the host of Mornings with Maria. She had Sunday Morning Future. She had a Sunday show on Fox Business. She also hosted a Friday evening show, I believe, called, like, you know, Wall Street with Maria Bartiromo. Yep. She had a number of pieces of content that she was doing regularly with the network. So it is a big change for them. They have people kind of filling in and helping in the meantime. But
Jason Chaffetz filling in Mornings Maria. That's just like former Congressman, Oversight Committee guy. It's just like, I mean, no one.
He's a good host. He fills in for Hannity. He fills in across the network.
Everyone is replaceable. But this
is
interesting.
Replaceable.
It did set off a ton of speculation. Like, is she now going to be in line to be the next White House press secretary? And if you were Trump, is like someone who has clearly been an absolute loyalist to you at the expense of her very lucrative deal with Fox, it's like, hey, Scott Jennings, watch out. Like, Maria is, you know, could be in the seat for this now. What do you think?
I don't see never say never in politics, first and foremost.
Sure.
I don't see a world where that happens, because Maria Bartiromo is so known. She is an institution. She is really an authority on the markets. She was the first person, I believe, who reported 5 days a week from being on the NASDAQ floor during live trading. She's a very smart, accomplished woman. I could see now that independent journalism and means like that, where she goes and ends up starting her own thing or ending up somewhere else with somebody who has started something similar and coming back in a new realm of that way. Because I don't see how you go from, I mean, listen, she could, and I think she'd be quite good at it. I mean, listen, there's nobody who's going to be able to be on their toes more than a former host of a massive show to be able to go toe to toe with these. It's a very interesting prospect. Again, never say number, especially in Trump world. But that I think that would be one that, I don't want to say it's a step back, because it's one of the biggest podiums in the world. It's just a career move that I don't know makes a lot of sense, even as a loyalist and good at what she is. I don't know, but never say never. And I keep saying that, because truly,
if there's ever an opening for a new Treasury secretary, make her the Treasury Secretary.
She's very smart. She's a very smart woman. She's very accomplished. So I wouldn't be surprised to see her staying within Trump orbit. And we could see how that plays out. But big, big shakeup at Fox News this week. Yeah. I mean, truly.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Now, as we look ahead to, we're at 60-some-odd days, 60, maybe 59
62,
now
days. 61 days?
Yeah, to the midterms. Should they? Should? This is the question of the week right now. We saw reporting earlier in the week where, and we saw it a couple of weeks ago, where Kamala Harris had gone and sent a fundraising letter out for a candidate. And they said, no, we're not associated with her. We didn't ask for that. Dear God, no, even though everybody signed off on it. Now Kamala is saying she's going to do a battleground tour. She's going to get out there and try to help Democrats win in the midterms. And some Democrats are saying, no. Today, we saw a little bit of similar reporting, not quite the same, about President Trump, who's saying, those last 30 days, I've got 35 target races. We're going to be focusing on, if you're in a safe race, don't ask me to come out and help you. But in that reporting, some senior Republicans who wouldn't put their name on it said, well, we've told the White House we don't want them to come. So maybe there's some of that on the Republican side where they're saying they should, they shouldn't. Of those two, Trump and Kamala, what's your take on the should they, shouldn't they?
Yeah, I've been in the situation before. In a special election in 2006, when President Bush was in office, we had an offer from the White House to have the president come out and campaign for our guy. And I was one of the only two people on this conference call with the NRCC saying, nope, don't do it. Like, he's underwater with the Iraq war.
Well, no wonder you're a Democrat now. Look at you. You didn't want George Bush. No, kidding.
And we got we won that race, by the way.
They sniffed you out early on that one. They were like, this guy.
And we had to make it, like, they couldn't believe that we said, no, don't do it. And I actually leaked it to the local news that we rejected the White House's invitation, which I know is a huge process file, but I wasn't a D.C. guy back then, so I don't give a shit. Hey, we're going to get the story that we said no to George W. Bush. That's great for our campaign. And you may not like it now, but you'll like it when we're there and he's voting yes with you guys on everything. So deal with it. That was my very first brush with the Beltway, and why ever since then I could give two shits what the Beltway mentality ever is, because I think it's wrong a lot of the times. And this is one of those cases where, listen, it's kind of like Kevin McCarthy always said, like, vote your conscience, vote your district, no surprises. Like, this is like, your district, your voters, what the climate is, and you are more in tune with that than any strategist or consultant in Washington, D.C. or anybody in the White House. So if you think it does more harm than good, then say thanks, but no thanks. No disrespect. You'll like it a lot better if I win and I'm voting with you 99% of the time than if I have you out here and I end up losing and it becomes a liability. Like, we are at a stage now where there's basically 60 days left of this campaign. Every day you spend not on your message, every day you spend on defense, every day you spend having to explain shit that has nothing to do with you, frankly, is a wasted day. And you're not going to get many of them back. What you don't want to do is end up on election night and you've lost by a handful of votes, which is the most excruciating way to lose, because then you look back and go, what could I have done differently? What if I had two or three extra days left? I could have won this thing. Don't waste your days. Stay true to your district. Stay true to your constituency. Don't let this race become overly nationalized, because if it's going to be a nationalized situation, you're going to lose in this climate.
I think that a lot of that is correct. I do think that there's a difference between having Kamala come out and having Trump come out. And I think that's I'm not just like trying to state the obvious here and like say like, oh, yeah, it's going to be a turnout election. Yeah, no shit. I always think that's like the dumbest thing.
The
team
that
scores
the
most
points wins.
Yeah. Oh, it matters how many. Anyways, but for Kamala, I think that Kamala, when she looks at 28, she's like, oh, I'm not doing this for 28. I'm doing this for Democrats to win in 26. Kamala has never had a real coalition of her own. when she has run nationally. In 2020, she dropped out before a single primary vote was cast. So she hasn't had a groundswell. So her attempts to try to win in these battleground districts and states is an attempt to try to play forward on 28. For President Trump, we know, and the math bears out on it, when Trump's on the ballot, more Republicans come out.
Yes.
So using him in a way that is advantageous to your district and your race, and if he is helpful to have him out there, heck yes. And he's doing the telephone town halls too, which really, I mean, you do get a good bang for your buck on those as an operative, right? You can dial out to hundreds of thousands of people, get them on the line at once.
Great voter contact for very little cost.
Yeah, you can take questions. You can, you know, like there's a lot you can do with a telephone town hall. So I think that in a lot of ways, those certainly can be helpful, especially when we're trying to get these Republican base voters to turn out in these midterm elections when we know Republicans now are lower propensity voters. But here's my next question on this. If you think nationally, and it could be a Republican or it could be a Democrat, who would you want there out on as a surrogate on a race right now that you think isn't getting used or could be helpful in any of the races across the country?
Yeah, I think surrogacy is interesting because more often than not, it's about exciting and animating your core voters, the people who have the biggest sway. I think for Democrats, though, it's become a bit of a liability. Yes, you want your base to show up, turn out. But if you're going around everywhere with a Sean Piker or even a Bernie Sanders, I don't think that's going to get you what you need to win. And so I will be looking for surrogates who defy the stereotype that your opponents are trying to tie you to, which right now, if you're a Democrat, Republicans are spending all of their time calling you a socialist, trying to make you look like an extreme lefty DSA type candidate. So I'm bringing in different people who have more, I think, executive experience, not legislators per se. I would be bringing in, you know, a Governor Pritzker, for instance, here in Texas, which we're going to be seeing next week. He's coming out here as part of the counter messaging to the midterm convention that Republicans are having. You know, there are other names that I would say, but I'm not going to steal your answers, but I would have said those.
Because
anyway.
I had a good answer on
I told you ahead of time,
so we don't have a repeat of the commercial segment from earlier this week where you took my answer too.
I took your answer.
I got to call dibs on my answers when we go into production meetings.
I'm
Kurt doesn't
not
steal
say those names. I'm not going to say those names, but like I would be looking at people like J.B. Pritzker, like a Wes Moore, I think is an interesting surrogate to have out there right now. I think Andy Beshear, again, people who have won in red states that are Democrats are the people that I would want to have if you're in a battleground race.
Yeah. So Kurt and I talked about this before, which is why he didn't steal my answer, about that defying that narrative that's being set against you, that stereotype, that whatever it is. I think that for Democrats, if you're Hassan Piker, and I don't know, El Sayed, I don't know that they would campaign with you. I can imagine they would, but a Pete Buttigieg or a Josh Shapiro, a Governor Josh Shapiro, both of them are Democrat surrogates who would defy what El Sayed is getting put very blatantly on him as a narrative that he's a communist, a socialist, an anti-Semite, a bigot, and he hangs out with people who believe America deserved 9/11, and he has a bit of a base problem in the Democrat Party. So if people are saying, you know, he's siding with people who are saying that, you know, Jews bring violence against themselves, very anti-Semitic rhetoric here that I think is so easy to denounce. I don't know why El Sayed doesn't do it. If he got a Governor Josh Shapiro in for him, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know the national news that would be? That would be a huge swing for his campaign and showing that he can build coalitions, that he can get those voices in. But that I don't think that would happen for him. I think Pete Buttigieg might actually be maybe a little more likely out of the two. But even then,
especially because he is in Michigan. So like there's at least that. Like I think, you know, going to people who have cachet in your state helps, not even just like forget about outside, you know, big, large political figures. Like one of the things that I liked this week was when Tallarico did something with Mark Cuban. And I know like for a lot of people like that, there's an eye roll effect there because it's Cuban, but like in Texas,
yeah, I get that.
The guy owns the Dallas Mavericks. Like he is not seen as a political person overtly here in Texas. He's seen as the owner of the Mavs first and then all the other things that he's doing. like finding people who have some cultural cachet, who have cachet in your state or community or constituency. Like that's where I would go, honestly, for surrogates. Like if you're right now running and you have a college football coach that you're, or, you know, that you know, like that would carry more weight with me than Governor so-and-so.
I agree with that. However, I think just given the national narratives against El Sayed, if he got other national Democrats to come in, because Michigan is early in the 2028 map, like a Shapiro or like a Buttigieg, mm-hmm. I take your point. I think you're right. Local's better. Local is how you win your race. You've got to be paying attention to what they're saying at home and not nationalize it. But that would help defy that narrative. And also, they could help you build coalitions within the state as well. If you can do it nationally, they can help you locally. I think all of that. But who am I to give Democrats good advice?
We'll take it for all free from you.
Well, you know, that's you get what you pay for. Hmm. All right. To round today out, what say you? There is new reporting in the New York Post, a bipartisan bill that there would be no pension payments for members who had ethics issues, ethics commissions, things like that in Congress. What do you think? I think the answer is obvious here, but we've got a follow up here too. So,
yeah, I've always believed that if you have, you know, real ethics issues, if you resign, if you are censured, expelled,
Chuck Edwards,
whatever,
right?
All of it, like you forfeit your right to have the taxpayer subsidize your life in any way, shape or form, period, end of story. Like you don't get to violate the trust of the people as well as, you know, really soil the institution itself and still get the benefits of it. Like you should have your floor privileges revoked.
Yes.
Members of Congress have lifetime House floor privileges. You should lose your health care plan. You should you don't get anything.
I agree with that. I think that if you've got ethics issues, if you have been found guilty, if you've been censured on the floor, if you've been expelled from Congress, if you've had any of these kind of big issues, yeah, it's a good bipartisan bill and it's a good message because corruption is still something that people care deeply about. That is something they always care. Drain the swamp. You hear Democrats using that against Republicans the same way you hear Republicans against mm-hmm. Democrats. So the idea that you would be paying people after they have been found to have broken the ethics of the House, I agree. Yeah, take away floor privileges and pensions. And the reason I find this is kind of the ethics argument of it is, and this is a little bit of a flip on the ethics argument, is that I have a question about whether or not former presidents of the United States should be paid in perpetuity as some kind of salary to maintain at least some kind of lifestyle because of the ethics of it. Because at a certain point, what job do you get after you've been president of the United States where you're not trading on the fact alone, pretty much, no matter what, that you're a former president? And I think that if we paid them, you wouldn't have to see a very sick Joe Biden giving speeches, being out on the road, except when he wanted to, because mm-hmm. he's trying to pay bills right now. What do you think of that idea, kind of ethically speaking in that
career? Yeah, I think there's something to, like, once you become the president, like there's nowhere else to go professionally. Like there's nothing.
What do you do? We should have ambassador's house. Like, you know, that college football Heisman house. We need the president's house where we just send them all together to go hang out.
Because like your job for the rest of your life is to be an ambassador of America, like to a certain degree. And so that there is a lifetime appointment in some ways, wearing the seal of the presidency once you get it. And so I don't have a problem with us, you know, as a country, you know, holding that to some financial truth. There's a part of me that says it should be means tested. If you are rich,
you get elected, I can agree with that. Yeah,
like
you
if don't
Mitt
need
Romney
it.
Had become president, or Donald Trump,
or Donald,
right? Donald
Trump
is incredibly wealthy. He doesn't need anything further, and actually, he returns his salary to the government each time.
Right,
so
right.
I think that's right.
So
yeah.
It's like I would means test it. If you decide after the presidency to go take a gig for some reason somewhere that pays you some stupid amount of money, then okay, you don't need the government support there in any way at all. I do think government should always pay for your security, because you're being protected as someone who knows a lot and could be our enemies could very much extract a lot from you. So as an act of national security, we should definitely pay for the security that is involved in post-presidential life. But from financially, it's like, listen, if you basically go back to life, and government salary, then okay, you should just, you know, be means tested. I think that's the way to go.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it more and more and more about how these former presidents, a lot of them do have to go out and continue to find ways to work. I mean, Obama was a younger president. And yeah. I think that we could be even looking at younger presidents going forward. And that would be, you know, be carrying a large, you know, cost to trying to make sure that we don't
have. If you're
going to
be alive for another four decades, that's like, again, when the presidency was created, the average life expectancy in this country was less than 50 years old. So you got elected, then you died 5 years later.
Right. So that's the question. There's a lot of ambiguity to it. You know, there's ethics, there's morals, there's financials, there's the conservative in me, which says, like, go get a job, you'll be fine. But also, I actually, like, for Joe Biden, I say this, I'm not trying to be mean. I feel bad for the guy. He's really sick and he has to keep being out there writing books and doing these things. And don't get me wrong, I think a lot of that is ego driven. I do think the Bidens have some of the biggest egos in politics. Look at Hunter. He's out there all of the time continuing to say things that people are not asking for. Nobody asked to know that you were fueling your coke and whore problem on your Burisma money, or that you're 48% gay that he allegedly said. What? Like, we don't need that. I think they have big egos. I think that's part of it. However, I do think there's a certain type of trying to make money to it that they want to try to do. And the same way that staffers cash in post-presidency, right? Do presidents cash in post-presidency? Is that correct, right? Do we believe in that? I think it's a very big ambiguous moral question.
Yes, I agree. I agree. Worthy of debate and discussion.
That's what we like to do. Well, friends, we have made it to Labor Day weekend. Have a cocktail.
Yes.
Not only for Kurt, but for yourself.
Please. I need one. I need one. And don't forget, while you're drinking, to rate, review, subscribe, all the things,
share.
Party lines.
Make sure you tell us how you feel, but only if you like us.
Yes, only.
Five stars or bust. That's really what it is.
All
right, friend.
Five stars, thumbs ups. I don't know what the hearts.
Wait, is it this hand? Subscribe?
I think it's your left
this
hand.
One? Oh, it's this one. Subscribe.
Just do
Sorry.
Both. Oh, my gosh. All right. All right, guys. Have a good Labor Day weekend. We'll be back next week, hopefully.
Party on, party animals. Bye.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, Lady Luck?
Bretzky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.